Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Listen to Talk with Marie Live. Get ready for some music, books, social events, and special guests. Here's your host, Marie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. We are starting a little earlier than usual. I have a wonderful guest with me today. We are sitting in our space in Second Life, which is the Octagon creative project that she works on. And today she's going to be telling us all about all the amazing things that she does in Second Life, in real life. And she has a wonderful presentation coming up, which we're going to be hearing all about that, which is really amazing. So Molly is very active in Second Life, and we had a chance to meet at the Virtual World Best Practices in Education, where she was a presenter. And so we met there, and I thought she would be a great person to be on the show today. Welcome, Molly, to the show. Before we go in, she does so many different things that I'm not sure today is going to be enough. She's probably going to have to come back on the show and talk more about all the creative things that she does. And hopefully she inspires you guys to come and join us in Second Life. Hi, Molly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. I was complimenting you earlier on your outfit, which goes perfectly with all the work that you do. You're a walking piece of art. And it's a beautiful space you have in Second Life. So I was telling our listeners, you do so much. And I know today we barely gonna cover some of the things that you do. But I wanted to start by talking about how you discovered Second Life.
Okay. In an unusual way. I had been working for 23 years, once a year, at an event called Fantasia Fair in Provincetown, Massachusetts, for transgendered persons. It's both a social and educational event, and I'd been giving workshops there. I had written a book called Counseling in Genderland, and so a lot of what I was doing was reflected in what I wrote about. And I was sitting at lunch with one of my transgendered friends who was also a leader of that community. And she was there with her girlfriend. And she said to me, they started talking about Second Life and how they had met in World. And in fact, here it is. That was in 2007. That's almost 9 years ago, and they're still together. They eventually met in real life, and it's one of the success stories. Well, as soon as she started talking to me about Second Life, I knew I wanted to do it. It seemed like a natural fit for someone who is very creative and curious. And so as soon as I got home, this was in October of 2007, I joined. And she had agreed to be my mentor, which made a huge difference to me because I was quite a technophobe. And she let me learn at my own pace and stayed with me until I could make my way around. And it went from there.
That's wonderful. I mean, I think the stories are so always interesting to me in terms of the different ways people find or hear about Second Life and eventually getting in, which I think you completely immersed now because of all the work you're doing. So since that time, you stayed in Second Life. What keeps you involved and remain so committed to the work in Virtual World?
Well, I'm part of a team of people collaborate and work together on projects. And the woman who owns this sim, her name is Wisdom Keeper Lisanna. She and I have been on 3 different sims together, and we collaborate a fair amount on all kinds of projects. In fact, this last year we created a group called Adventures in Lifelong Learning, where we're trying to encourage people who have subject matter expertise but may never have taught in a virtual environment to be able to do that. And I help them with facilitation skills, and we give them places and ways of interacting with each other to find out what people are interested in and so on. So my involvement is driven by my interest in creativity and in teaching, and I have plenty of opportunity to do that here, and I'm part of a group called Virtual Worlds Education Roundtable. We meet weekly and talk about education in virtual spaces and all the different challenges and joys of it, and so I learn from that as well. And I also, the other thing that helps me stay involved is that I have a wonderful assistant, Francisco Kuhlhoven, who has been helping me for about 5 years. He helps me with technical stuff. He sends out notices, and he's there to help people during my sessions who might need technical help. That makes a huge difference to me.
Yeah, no, definitely to get that extra help. As I was learning about your work, I realize, I've never heard of this word before, but you describe yourself as a creativist.
Creativist, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I made that word up, really, and it turns out that it's actually a word. The way I use it and what I put on my profile, I think, is that a creativist is somebody who's interested in creative process regardless of the medium. So I do all kinds of creative processes with music. I'm a composer, and I play several instruments. I sing. I write. I do fine artwork. I've done a lot of theater and performance stuff. I've been a dancer in the past. But what has always fascinated me is the process of creating something. And I've done groups in here too, where I bring people together to talk about creative process and their processes. And it's fascinating to me how different people are in the way they produce, manifest something from their internal life out into this world. It's quite a fascinating thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I was thinking, who else? There are so many. I mean, I always say creative types, but usually that seems to be broader, where you include so much more people than that. And I think, you know, I was realizing, like, you do so, and you do include it and integrate it from, I have some questions later about so many ways where sometimes it's not just one form. Sometimes you combine so many different type of medium.
Yes.
Even within Second Life or within one project you might be working on, and it's so nice to see how they fit and actually complement each other, or different creativists coming together to sort of work on one
yes.
thing, which is really amazing.
I'm yes, and I've done that too. I've done a program called Composers and Artists, where I bring in composers like Tip Corbett here, who improvise. I have artists come and they open up their auditory channel and listen to the improvisation, and then they begin to build, make something spontaneously in response to the music. And then I reverse the process, and I'll have an artist start to build something and the musician to improvise to that and open up his or her visual channel. So I'm constantly working with people on multiple intelligences, we could say. And having them see how they can access many different channels for creating whatever it is that they imagine.
That's great. I love to. He once turned one of my poems into a an instrumental piece, which was interesting to hear after you write something. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the same poem that he's playing. And it's like, you know.
It's also taken short pieces that I've written and done improvisations to them. We've done, we did a whole program called A Musical Feast, which I can send you actually. It was video. Where I had two of my albums, this piano album, streamed in, and then in between them, he did a short piece of mine which has not been recorded, and then took off on it with wonderful improvisation.
Oh, yeah.
Now we could just as well do a Pat Gadsden there and artists riffing off of that as well.
Yeah.
But I really love that. Combining, as you said, the combining of different forms of expression.
Yeah, no, I love that. I wish I had more opportunity. This was a one-time affair. So you've been using Second Life, and again, you know, I think it's great to sort of see how different people are being, whether it's being creative or using Second Life are so many different things. I think the list goes on the longer you stay in Second Life. But even after so many years, I see there are some people who are still reluctant to venture into virtual world. So what have you heard about some of the barriers for some, especially to seniors, to explore this platform?
Well, coincidentally, I just had an article printed. I was interviewed by a journalist for a local New England paper, and I talked exactly about that, about my own technophobia, and that I think that a lot of particularly older people who Liz and I are targeting to try to bring in more are afraid that they won't be able to handle the technology. In fact, I have some close friends that have tried to bring in here, and they are just so flummoxed by technology, not just in Second Life, but you know, just dealing with their computers and not knowing how to use Skype or other things, which I now find fairly simple. And I'm trying to figure out so what we've done is we've created a mentor team. And we're prepared to assign mentors to individuals who are willing to just show up. And because I know that for me, it made a huge difference. I don't think that I would have been here if I hadn't had someone to mentor me. And we've also got an orientation center, self-guided, that people can go into and very clear here. Led from one thing to another and told exactly how to do things. So that's one thing that appears to be an obstacle. The second thing is time. That you know, I'm retired and I have the time to devote to this. A lot of people are still working and they simply feel like they do not have time for yet another hobby. They have all they can do to just keep up with their emails. One of my friends told me the other day she's got 200 emails that she hasn't even processed. You know, I would shoot myself if that were the case with me. I wouldn't be able to stand it. But there are a lot of people who just get piled up with their regular lives and just feel like this would take too much time. Those are the two biggest ones.
Yeah, I mean, it can be overwhelming, and I think that's why it's great when you come within a community that's already established, so whether it's educational or nonprofit or the arts, and they kind of embrace you and help you navigate it, because it is overwhelming to start. And I think having a place like yours is really perfect, because then they have, you know, people or someone to sort of help them along the way, which is great. So let's talk about one of the programs that I know that you did. There was one program called Visions of Self. I think you kind of alluded to that a little bit. What was that?
Do you want to come down to my gallery with me, and I can actually talk about that while you're seeing some examples, or do you want me just to speak briefly about it now?
We can speak briefly now, and then we'll go toward the end of the program. We'll go. Is it below?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can do the description, and then we'll go down in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, you probably read in my background material that I was trained as a Gestalt therapist.
Yes.
And Gestalt is a German word that doesn't have any real English equivalent, but basically it means the whole that's more than the sum of its parts. So, for instance, I can say that a symphony is a musical form, it's the orchestra, it's the event, and so on. So I can describe it in various ways, but actually, symphony is more than just this plus this plus this. The same thing with the human being. I can describe all the different parts of your body or your brain and so on, but that does not give you the sense of the whole, which is greater than that. So three guys, Pearl, Severline, and Goodman, wrote a book in the early 50s on Gestalt. And it was a way of perceiving or looking at things, paintings, for instance. Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat. that when you look at a painting, you're really forming a foreground and a background very rapidly. You're not really seeing the whole thing at once, but your brain is creating something that feels like a whole thing. So Pearl posited that you could do the same thing with the human psyche. And if you pay attention, things will come up to the surface, you'll deal with them, then they'll go in the background, then something else will come up, and that it's a dynamic process. So I use this I've created something in Second Life called symbolic modeling, in which people who have dilemmas or want to explore their values or feeling states or whatever will use the building vocabulary here, which happens to be objects, like I'm putting a sphere down right now. And they will explore the issue by exploring the object and what it can do. And they will deal with the different parts of it. And the Gestalt part comes in because I have them actually become the object or different parts of the object and speak as that to the builder. They can ask questions. They can have all kinds of dialogue. Sometimes it's more than one object. If there's a decision to be made between A and B, or if somebody, like if I'm working with a writer, one part of which who feels that they have something to offer to the world through their writing, and then there's an inner critic that says, you're not good enough, blah, 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 blah. I might have them make objects that represent both of those parts and get them into a dialogue with each other and challenge them, since those are both part of them, to resolve it in some way, to form a Gestalt, a whole that's greater than the sum of either part or each part. I hope that makes sense to you.
Oh, I know.
It's hard to describe this without actually taking somebody through a process.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good, there's so many different methods and ways of, you know, sort of really engaging people and you know, especially when you do so many different things from coaching to, you know, facilitating, and it's always a group effort. So I think it's good to sort of know, you know, the source of that process and how.
Well, yeah, and if you look downstairs, you'll see I'm in, this is my butterfly gallery that I designed. So it has two wings and a central entrance. One of the wings has a lot of different pieces of art that I did, which are parts of my psyche. So I use that as a demonstration for visions of self. And I might get different ones of those pieces of art talking to each other by giving them a voice and using eye language. And
90 seconds.
The sloth part of me, for instance, who just wants to sit around and dream, may be confronted by the part of me that's called crying for a world on fire, that sometimes feels helpless but wants to do things to make the world a better place. And so they get into a dialogue with each other, and they each present some aspect that the other part needs. And then a gestalt is formed when they have some kind of an integration. So you can do that with two parts, three parts, four parts, whatever parts exist. When I do the Visions of Self workshop, I ask people to pick two opposing parts of themselves in their own psyche. We all have them. And to make symbolic paintings or drawings of each part, and then to upload them. And when we do the workshop, usually I will take.
Seconds.
That's great. So how often do you do that session? So before the program is over, I wanted to thank all of our listeners for tuning in to talk with Marie. We've been talking with Molly, who's also known as Neela Miller in real life. She has a wonderful website where you guys can hear her music and all the amazing work that she does in Second Life. And she has a presentation coming up very soon. So if you go to peoplesystemspotential.com, this is where you learn about her work, all the publications that she's been in. And she has a presentation coming up at the Nonprofit Commons, which she's going to be telling us about. And as always, if you love the show, follow us on Twitter and Pinterest. So let's see what is happening with Molly. So one of the things that I mentioned that she does is her music, which I didn't even know about until we were getting ready for the interview. So I wanted to make sure you guys can hear her play the piano. There's a beautiful Spring Awakening that she does. So that was Spring Awakening, played by Molly. So this is all on our website from our CD Seasonal Suite, which is really amazing. So I can't wait to hear her presentation. And again, she's online, very active. You guys can find her on social media. And we've always talked about the Nonprofit Commons meeting that we have every Friday at 8:30 SLT, which is 11:30 Eastern Time. If you don't have an account in Second Life, you can definitely join. We have so many more events coming up. So everyone is more than welcome to join us and participate. So we still have a few more minutes with Molly. And as we are dealing with some tech issues, let's see if we can hear another more upbeat piece that she has. Actually, we could do the seasonal suite. Summer is around the corner, so let's do Summer Morning. Thank you. All right, so you guys just heard all three pieces, Summer Morning, Summer Afternoon, and Summer Evening, being played by Molly. So before we go off the air, I wanted to remind you guys that Molly's doing a presentation tomorrow at the Nonprofit Commons. Our meetings, again, are 8:30 SLT or 10 or 11:30 Eastern Time. And then she has the Collaborative Sculpture Storytelling on Tuesday, March 29th. So I'm going to post all those information on my website, and I'm going to link her page to my profile so you guys can get everything. So Molly will definitely come back. I want to thank her for being a guest on the show and sharing her creative works in so many projects in Second Life. And she has so many other things that she's working on. I want her to talk more about her music, so she'll definitely come back on the show. So thank you again for listening. Thank you for your support. And definitely check out Molly's website and sign up for a workshop she's doing or come hear one of the presentations that we are having. So have a wonderful rest of the day. And I hope you do something creative after you've done such an amazing program talking about creativity in the virtual world. Thank you.